You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Richard Pope with my wife, Pastor Lucy Pope, from the Word of Truth International Ministries Incorporated. We're so grateful that you decided to join us today, and we know the Lord has a blessing just for you. Good morning. It's a blessing just to be alive on this morning. And we just thank God for another opportunity to share his word, to break the bread of life. God is good. I don't care what's going on in this world. God is still on the throne. He's still in charge. And there's nothing that catch him off guard. So what we have to do in these times we're living in, we have to surrender all to Jesus. We have to ask him for his will to be done, not our will. Because we think we know what we don't know. Because Jesus has a plan for all of our lives. He saved us. He snatched us out of the pit of hell. So he has a plan for our lives. Because if not, he'd have just let us went on and burn in a hell forever. And see, this is serious business, because this ain't no joke. We gonna spend eternity somewhere. When we close our eyes and the rigor mortis start to set in, and the blood start running warm in our veins, we're going to spend eternity. This ain't it. This is just a dress rehearsal. We're passing through this barren land. We're pilgrims. This is not our home. If we're born again, if we have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we're living for him, we're telling people about him, we're lifting him up, he's going to draw all men to him. And when I say men, I mean women, mankind. He's going to draw. He's going to do the drawing if we lift him up. And so we can't be caught up in our little finite minds, because we only use like 5% of our brains. So how would we be if we could use more of our brain? But we serve an infinite God. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. And he's everywhere at the same time. He knows everything. He has all power. He has all power. So the enemy only has a limited amount of power, and that's what we give him, because he's already given us the power over all the power of the enemy. So we have power over the enemy. We just have to stand up and get in our rightful place and take authority over him, because all the attacks that we're going through, it's only the enemy, because he knows his time is short. He's on a thin timeline, and his time is short, and he knows that he's coming with everything but the kitchen sink. Because he's trying to take all the souls to hell with him as he can. He can't repent. You still can repent. He can't repent. He know where he's going to go. Him and that third of the angels, whatever that number is, and I believe it's a great number, but they're doomed to the lake of fire. They're going to burn for eternity. And we have an opportunity. So while the blood is still running warm in our veins, let us take that opportunity and receive Jesus. If you haven't received him, start living for him. Look around you. You see what's going on around us. It's crazy stuff everywhere we look. And that's why the Lord has had me on faith for several years now. 3-4 years I've been preaching on faith. And that's why he's had me on faith, because in these times that we're in right now, we're going to have faith. We're going to have faith to be able to stand, because there's some times coming. And we're going to have to make a choice. For Christ I live, for Christ I die. We got to make a choice. It's going to come down to it where the enemy is going to be persecuting. And we're going to have to make a choice. We're going to have to die for him. We got to live for him. Because if we deny him, he's going to deny us before his Father. So we can't deny him. We're going to have to stand firm on that firm foundation, which is Jesus Christ, the solid rock. The solid rock, we got to stand on that. And I don't know why I'm going this way, but the Lord just put it on my heart that we got to quit playing. We in the sanctuary, huh? As the church, as the bride of Christ, as the body of Christ, we're playing in the church. God is still healing. God is still delivering. But we have so many talents that we can do this charisma thing, huh? And the Spirit of God ain't no way in it. So we have to be mindful and stick to the word, this firm foundation, this word. We got to preach and teach the word. Whether they want to receive it or not, we got to preach and teach the word, because the word is going to get them saved. The gospel of Jesus Christ will save man's soul. It will save, it will change, it will do the work. Plant the seed of the word in the hearts of the people, whether they want to hear it or not. Don't give them a man's philosophy and man's doctrine, but give them the sound doctrine, the word of God. Don't give them a doctrine of sound. We playing in the church. We got all this praise that's secular in the church, in the sanctuary, and we're playing. And a lot of times we got those in there that shouldn't even be in leadership because they're not living right. And so we're going to have to give an account for that. And if we're heading that house and we're the angels of the house, we're going to have to give an account for every soul that's being misled. So we need to be mindful of that. I know a title is good. Yeah, it makes us feel important. But a title means nothing if you're not doing the work. If you're not putting in the work what God has ordained you and called you to do, and that's giving them the word, the pure, unadulterated word, that no chaser, just the word, huh? Just the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that's why he came, he hung, bled, and died, and he was risen on the third day, that we might have an opportunity, that we could live, because we was dead in our sins and trespasses. We were dead. So we need to be mindful of that. Most gracious and eternal Father, we just thank you right now, Lord God. We bless you, we magnify you, we glorify you, because you're worthy, God. Oh, Father, we come right now laying it all at the altar. We lay it all at the altar because we can't fix it, Lord, but we know that there's nothing impossible for you, God. And we thank you for the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might be in right standing with you, that we might be called the righteousness of God in Christ, because it's all in Christ. We have to be in Christ. We thank you for Jesus and the shed blood. We thank you for another opportunity to get it right. Lord, we bless you and magnify you right now for looking down on us, Lord, that you would be mindful of us. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you had a way of escape for us even before we messed up in the garden. Lord, you already had a plan of redemption for us, to buy us back, to snatch us out the hands of the enemy. Lord, we thank you that Jesus came and fulfilled the law. Lord, we couldn't keep the law. The law was there to get us in line because we were so far left of your word and your will and your plan and your purpose for our lives. Lord, we just thank you for Jesus coming, living the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God. Oh, we thank you for him right now, Lord. We thank you that this season that we're in right now, and that we would not only just look at him and look to the hills from which cometh our help during this season, during this December season, but we would do it all year long, thanking him and blessing him for what he's already done and what he's yet doing in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the ones who know you, Lord God. We bless you for them, Lord. Keep them on the straight and narrow. Lord, we ask that you just draw the ones that don't know you right now by your Holy Spirit, because they can't come unless you draw them by your Spirit, Lord. And we thank you for all the backsliders that are coming back into the kingdom, Lord God. We thank you that you saved them, you snatched them, and you turned them around. Lord, they know the truth, and they've turned. Lord, we thank you that they're coming back. Lord, we bless you and magnify you for right now, for your healing virtue being poured out on all the sick and afflicted. Lord, we know that the enemy is trying to take folk out with sickness and disease. They're dying younger and younger. Lord, we just thank you right now that the blood that was shed, the stripes on your back make her whole. Lord, that healing is the children's bread. Lord, we thank you right now that every stripe, the 39 stripes on your back, Lord, covers every division of sickness and sin. Lord, that we can be healed and delivered and set free in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that Isaiah 53:5 say that you were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, the punishment of our peace was upon you, And with your stripes, we are healed. It's already past tense. It's already done. We thank you, Lord, for healing us, for delivering us, for saving us, Lord God. We bless you and we magnify you right now, Lord God. We thank you that you would lift up all those that are in this radio station, Lord God. The owners, the managers, the technicians, Lord God, just continue to strengthen them and anoint them to do this work, this kingdom work, Lord God. We couldn't be here without them, Lord. And we thank you that the gospel is going over the airwaves. Lord, we thank you for all the ones who come here preaching, teaching, ministering, prophesying, Lord God. We thank you for those that lift up prayers for this nation and for all the nations, Lord God, that they will come to a knowledge of you, Lord Jesus, that they will give their life to you. We just thank you for them, Lord God. Strengthen them, Lord God. Prop them up where they're leaning. Build them up where they're torn down, Lord. We know this is not an easy work, Lord, but we know we got to hold on to your unchanging hand, Lord. Having done all, we're going to have to stand on faith. We got to stand on your word, Lord God. And we know there's some times coming, Lord God, but we know that you're still in control. Lord, we're looking to you to be our Savior, our Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, right now. Father God, we ask that you just look down on the bereaved families this morning, Lord. Folk are leaving here at an alarming rate. Lord, give them peace, give them comfort, Lord. Lord, we thank you for all those that die in you, Lord God, because they are blessed. We thank you for all those that are going to be drawn to you, Lord, that are going to give their life to you, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, and your will be done. Take authority right now over these airwaves, Lord God. Let the word fall on the fertile soils of the hearts of your people, germinate and come to life. Lord, we thank you that the word will fall where it's supposed to fall, Lord, and come to life before the enemy is able to steal it. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we just thank God. It's just good to be in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank him for his word this morning. And this morning we're looking at Galatians 3. And I'm going to read verses 21 and 22. And 21 reads thus. That's Galatians 3 and 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scriptures have concluded all under sin, and the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Amen. Amen. And here, the Apostle Paul is letting them know that the law has its own specific function. The law has a different and a natural purpose. It is not opposed to the promise. It is not competitive, but complementary. It completes. That's why I said earlier that Jesus came to fulfill the law. He didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law because he was the perfect lamb that would be sacrificed for us. He was a spotless lamb. He fulfilled the law. There was no sin in him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said that the enemy, the devil, is coming, but he has nothing in me. And that's what we're striving to be our testimony, that the enemy is coming, he's attacking, but he has nothing in me. And when we yield our members to the enemy, that's when he has something in us. He's able to beat us up, to persecute us and just beat us up because we've given him power, because we've given him a crack. We've given him an entry point. We've opened up portals and gates for him to come in. But we have to stand firm on the profession of our faith that the enemy is coming. He's here, but he has nothing in me. I've given him nothing to work with. And that's all he needs is a little crack, just a little crack, a little sin that has not been repented, that you've not repented for. And that gives him a crack to come in and wreak havoc in your life. And not only in your life, all those that are around you, your family, your friends, your spiritual family, anyone that's around you, connected to you, when he's attacking you, he's attacking them too, because you're not in right standing where you should be with God. And you're out of the will of God. You're out of the will of God when you're not keeping his commandments, when you're not walking by the Spirit, that you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we have to be mindful of that. We have to be mindful of that. And I know temptation is all around us. The world has so much temptation. And it looks good. It's shiny. It's glittery. And it smells good. And it looks good. But the end thereof is death. Huh? The wages of sin is death. There's no way around it. You're going to start dying. Huh? You're going to start dying. And eventually, your physical body going to die. You're going to start dying spiritually because you're going to be cut off. You're going to be out of fellowship with the Lord Jesus. You're going to be out of fellowship. And that's a terrible place to die. That's a terrible place to close your eyes, because in hell, you will lift up your eyes if you don't die in Christ, if you don't die living for him, teaching and preaching and ministering. And you don't have to have no title. You know, if you're a born-again believer, you can do all these things. You can do all these things, but you got to get into the Word so you can know what to give them, so you can be able to feed man with the Word of God. You can feed his spirit. You can feed his spirit. He's built up. He's built up to go out. And see, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. So it's an equipping. When we go into the sanctuary, we're going in to be equipped. We're going in not just to sit in them four walls and preach to the same ones that's already saved. No, we have to take that and follow the Great Commission. Go out and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Huh? Teaching them to keep all the things that you've commanded of us. Teaching them. And so we can't sit there, because there's a world that's dying all around us. And they don't know Christ. And they're following a bunch of New Age stuff. And they're following a bunch of foolishness that Satan has designed to trick them so their souls can go to hell with him. He can't repent. There's no redemption for him, nor those third of the fallen angels. So his thing is, he's been to heaven. He's been. And he know that we have the opportunity to go if we follow Jesus and follow his word and have relationship with him. It's not about religion. It's about relationship, communing with the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us, because we can't do this alone. That's why he sent the Comforter, the Paracletus, another one of the same. So Jesus is with us, in us, in his spirit, with his spirit. He walked with the disciples, but now he's with us by his spirit, and he's in us. So we have a great advantage on the enemy. We have a great advantage if we walk in our identity, whose we are. We are children of the Most High God. Huh? God is our spiritual father. Jesus is our older brother. And we have to embrace that, because we're heirs of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. So all these promises will come upon us when we receive him and we live for him. And we look to him, because we can't do it on our own. And this is what the Apostle Paul is telling them. Huh? If the law could have saved you, it would have. If the law wasn't designed to save you, it wasn't designed to justify you. Huh? It was designed to bring transgression, your transgressions, to your knowledge. It was designed to as a plumb line. To let you know where you was, where you should be, and where you are. It wasn't designed. Jesus came to save us. And we were justified by faith. When we believe in Jesus and we have faith in Jesus, we are justified just as if we'd never messed up, just as if we've never sinned. We are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And this is what he's telling. Verily, righteousness should have been by the law if it could have saved you. It was a perfect law. If a law could have saved, that law would have saved. But it's not. It was not for the law. The law was only to line us up with the will of God. God gave the law to Moses, so the law wasn't bad. The law was to line them up and for them to be obedient to the word of God, to line them up. God already knew that we weren't going to do right. That's why he already had Jesus set up. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus was already slain for our sins to pay the penalty, because the law, you were condemned by the law. If you couldn't keep one, you was guilty of all, because you're guilty of breaking all of them, because you had to keep them all, and you couldn't because you were in your natural state. Your man is born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So this is where you were, but God had already had a plan. He already had a plan. So the law, if you broke the law, you was condemned to death. So Jesus came, but the scripture have concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But the scripture have concluded. The scripture has concluded that all are under sin. All have sinned. That's why we have to repent. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need to make Jesus the Lord of our life, because we can't do it on our own. Our best ain't number filthy rags. Our best ain't number filthy rags. So we can't do it on our own. We need an infinite God, the God that laid down his life on the cross. He laid it down and he picked it back up. No man took it from him. He laid it down for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ. Put us back in right standing. We was enemies of God. We were enemies of God. We didn't want nothing to do with God. We was doing our own thing. And the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that's what it's saying. But the scripture has concluded all under sin. We're under sin in this fallen world. We're under sin. That the system of the world, we're in sin. That's why we need to be born again of the Spirit from above. Because Ephesians tells us that God has already made us to be seated with him, meaning Jesus, in heavenly places. Because when we have that relationship, when we are born again, we are already seated in the Spirit. And our spirit is already seated in heavenly places. That's the vertical. Now, we're here trying to draw men to Jesus. That's the horizontal. Because on this earth, we have an assignment. In these earth suits, it's only for the earth. Because when we leave, and when we're resurrected and we're raised up, if we're not still alive when Jesus comes, we will get glorified bodies like Jesus' body. See, this flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. It can't go to heaven. It's only for the earth. This earth suit is only for this assignment, because a spirit is illegal in the earth without a body. So you must have a body. That's why the demons try to get a host, because they're illegal otherwise. So that's why I say we have to know whose we are and who we are in Christ, because we have authority over the enemy if we stand in our place of authority. And that's in the name of Jesus, being led by his Holy Spirit, because the blood was already shed for our power, for us to have power. The resurrection power was given to us that we might live, because we were dead. So the scripture tells us that we are under sin. We're all under sin. But Jesus, when we receive Jesus, now we're under grace. He saved us by grace through faith. And believing in that faith justifies us, just as if we had never messed up, long as we're living for him. Long as we're living for him, we're made right, in right standing with God. We're made right standing. We're brought back into the family. So we were orphans. We were outcasts. But when we receive Jesus, we are made the righteous of God in Christ. We're back into the body. We're back into the family. We're back into the kingdom. That the promise by faith, because the promise was made to Abraham that he would make him a great nation because of his faith. He's called the father of faith. And when we believe, we are spiritual seeds of Abraham. We believe. We are brought into right standing because of our faith, because you have to have faith in Jesus to be saved. You have to acknowledge him. You have to receive him to be saved. And that's by faith. It's through grace by faith, by grace through faith. So it's his grace. It's a precious gift that no man can boast, because if we could do it in works, we would be boasting. Look at what I've done. But it's that no man can boast, because it's a precious gift from God. He freely gives to us salvation if we receive it by faith, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe, because belief is the foundation of our faith. We must believe. We must believe that he is before we can come to him. We must believe that he died on that cross. He lived, he healed, he set free, he delivered, he hung, he bled, he died, and he was raised up. He went down to hell and took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Huh? He set captive free, so that we might have an opportunity. So we need to be mindful. And things are going to get crazy. But just remember, Jesus already paid the price. He said, in this world, you're going to have trials and tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I've already overcome them. I've already overcome everything that you're going to go through. That's why the chastisement of our peace was upon him. He took our punishment. He paid the price that we might have peace, the peace that passes all understanding, that we might live for him, and that we might be justified to the Father and brought in right standing, so we might be a part of the kingdom of kings. And we just thank you and bless you. And just remember that you have to keep the faith, that we're praying for you, we love you, and just keep the faith no matter what. Just trust in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Yes. So we can't be sidetracked, because the enemy is coming with everything he's got. Everything he's got, because his time is short. And we know that he's doing it, because you can look around and see the signs. The signs of the times that we're living in. We're living in the last days. We're living in perilous times. And we're going to go through some stuff. So we're going to have faith. So that's why the Lord has had me on faith for all these years, because I didn't know. This is way before the pandemic and everything else. And we got some other stuff coming right now that's stirring up that's going to be probably worse than the pandemic. So we got to have faith, and we got to trust in God. We got to believe on him that the stripes on his back has made us whole, and it's going to keep us, because the blood of Jesus, nothing can cross the bloodline. So we have to plead the blood of Jesus. Until next time, just remember, we love you. We're praying for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We pray that the word of truth has touched your heart and mind today. There may be someone under the sound of my voice that has not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, you know the life I've lived. Forgive me for my sins. I believe you died for my sins and was raised up on the third day. Thank you for saving me. Heaven rejoices over one that comes to repentance and receive Jesus. We encourage you to find a Bible-based church where you can continue to grow in the Word of God. If you would like to sow into this ministry, you can do so by Cash App, and that's $TWOT Ministries. Again, that's $TWOT Ministries, or P.O. Box 8573, Port St. Lucie, Florida 34985. Again, that is P.O. Box 8573, Port St. Lucie, Florida 34985. Until next time, this is Pastor Richard and Lucy Pope. We love you, and we're praying for you. Amen. So I trust them at all times.